can be washed in the blood. And we can have confidence that we are, that it's not just something that we hope so, but that as we walk with God, He makes a difference in our lives each and every day. Last Sunday, we finished the book of Joshua. We made it through. That was a long time going through those chapters, but we praise the Lord. I trust you're thankful for the lessons that God taught you. I know He continued to teach me and continues to teach me. We will be getting into the book of 1 Corinthians as we study the church at Corinth, but not this month. So don't turn there. This month, we are taking a four-week study on how can I questions. We have four different ones that we'll be looking at. November, we'll be getting into the book of 1 Corinthians and beginning a new series there on Sunday mornings. But this month, today, we will talk about answering the question, how do I live like a Christian? We talked about that briefly from Psalm 1, and we'll look at that more in depth from the book of Psalms. Next week, how do I want to come to church? Anybody ever struggle with that? I have. Anybody else? Okay, there's two of us. Three. Okay, here we go. Anybody else? I really don't want to come to church today, right? I mean, at times it happens. How do I want to come to church? Because sometimes I just don't want to. Well, how do we do that? We're going to talk about that next Sunday. The following Sunday, how do I walk after the Spirit? People say walk in the Spirit as a Christian, but what does that mean? What does the Bible have to say with that? And then the last Sunday of this month, how do I practice Christian liberty? Well, I'm under liberty, so I can do whatever I want. We'll talk about that, what the Word of God says. How do I practice liberty? So we'll take this four-week series on how can I, how do I questions. This morning, if you'll turn to Psalm 119, how do I live like a Christian? Psalm 119, the longest chapter in the Bible. Now we know the chapter divisions were not inspired. When holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost and they wrote it down, God didn't tell them write chapter 119, verse whatever. We know those were added later to help us to be able to find in the Bible where we're at. But this morning we'll be looking at Psalm 119, verses 9 through 11. But most every verse in Psalm 119, and there are a lot of them, talk about the Word of God. And in order for you and me to live like a Christian, the Word of God must be a priority in life. Now, it's interesting, when we look at people with priorities, we can see what the priority is, or at least get ideas of what it is. Whether it be a sporting event, and sports, someone was telling me that ice hockey was starting this week or last week. Like, man, that's kind of early for ice hockey, isn't it? And sports is just getting longer and bigger and more stretched out and spread out. And so we see the reality that sometimes sports becomes a priority of life. We see other things that become priorities of life. Sometimes it's people's vehicle, their car. Sometimes it's technology. Whatever it may be. But as we look at the priority of life, if I'm going to live like a Christian, the Word of God must be a priority of life. Psalm 119 talks about that. But like I said, we'll only be looking at verses 9 through 11 this morning. How do I live like a Christian? It's not just coming to church on Sunday mornings and calling it good. Check. That's my Christian duty for the week. Living like a Christian affects every day, every minute of every day. What do I do? How am I communicating my emotions? Am I holding them in and just letting them boil? Or am I giving them to God? How am I communicating my fear and worry? Do I let it dictate everything I do, or do I turn to God, who's not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind? But as I mentioned, these 4 weeks, how do I live like a Christian? How do I want to come to church? How do I walk after the Spirit? How do I practice Christian liberty? These are for Christians. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, you can't live like a Christian. The only way that you can live like a Christian is first by being one. Now, we know that the believers were first called Christians. Book of Acts, we see that. The word Christian literally means little Christ, not some form of religion. America, many people say America is a Christian nation, but a nation can't be a Christian. A Christian is for an individual. Though I understand we have been founded on Christian principles, but sadly today we are not a Christian nation. But if you're here, where will you go when you die? If you know Jesus Christ as Savior and you're confident in that, you know you go to heaven. But if you're wondering about that, Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Because of our sins, we're separated from God. There is none righteous, no, not one, Paul says to the church at Rome. That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that because of our sin, the wages of sin is death, or separation from God, and a living death, if you will, in hell for all eternity. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5:8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us. He showed, he demonstrated, he put it into action. And that while we were yet sinners, Christ," what? "Died for us." It's a personal relationship with a personal God. We'll talk more about that this evening. My personal belief can and should change my life. God demonstrated his love to you. Have you received his love? "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." It comes through admitting you're a sinner and believing that Jesus died on the cross for your sins. Believing that he's the only hope for sin. Asking him to forgive you, he will. Confessing him is the way Paul put it to the church at Rome. That's the first step in living like a Christian. But if you know Jesus Christ as Savior and you're here, how do I then live like a Christian when I go home to eat lunch? "Whether therefore we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, do all to the glory of God." I can live like a Christian when I'm eating lunch. Whether that's teens and kids using table manners, those honor God. Whether that's where I'm going to go when I eat or where I won't go or whatever it may be, what I will drink, what I won't drink. But how will I live like a Christian tomorrow when I go to school or when I go to work? When I interact with my family, when I interact with my peers, how will I live like a Christian this week? Living like a Christian should affect every day and every aspect of life. Psalm 119 verse 9 begins with, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Here he's talking about a young man or a boy. From the age of infancy to adolescence, it is possible for our kids to live like a Christian. First, they need to become a Christian. But it's possible for our teens to live like a Christian. It's possible for us as adults to live like a Christian. It's not some unattainable goal that I have to first get my doctorate in chemistry or whatever it may be, or doctorate in theology before I can ever live like a Christian. I can live like a Christian today. Will I, as I look at God's word? Number one, if I'm going to live like a Christian, I need to take heed to God's word. I need to take heed to God's word. The psalmist says, "Wherewithal or how shall a young man cleanse his way?" As we go through life, we have a way and a path that we follow. Everyone had a path as you came to church. In fact, some of you probably drove that and didn't think about it. You just knew you were going to church, and your car knew you were going to church, and you just got here, and maybe you forgot. I mean, I don't even remember getting here. Sometimes when we go on our way to certain places, we wonder, how did I get there? Well, as we go through life, we can't live like a Christian just wondering, oh, how did I get there? It's a distinct active choice. Number one, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Heed to God's word. This word heed means to hedge about like with thorns. To put a protection around. To protect for the purpose of observing, obeying. So the psalmist says, how can a young man have a clean life? How can an older man, an older woman, a young woman, how can we have cleansed lives before God? By putting that hedge of protection thereto according to thy word. God's word is a protection for our life. Many people use it as an excuse so that they don't become a Christian. Well, if I become a Christian, I have to give up this and this and this and this. Well, God's word actually is a protection from many of those things in life. It protects us from numbers of different things. Here he says, putting that hedge of protection. The word is actually illustrated with the shepherds in the Bible times. And they would build corrals for their sheep at night with different briars to keep the sheep safe from predators. We're reminded, 1 Peter, that the devil is as a roaring lion, roaming about, seeking whom he may devour and destroy. There's a predator who doesn't want us to live a Christian life tomorrow. You know, it's easy to live a Christian life between 11 and 12, isn't it, on Sunday mornings? But what's it going to be like when you turn on to 106 here? How am I going to live a Christian life? I need to take heed to God's word. The priority here is a godly life. How can I live that cleansed life? It requires paying attention. You ever see the shirt that says, I'm too poor to pay attention? Well, the reality is we all can pay attention. Am I going to pay attention to God's word? You ever get distracted, whether when you're doing your devotions or listening to preaching or something? I mean, it's like, well, where did that go? What happened there? Man, I can read the Bible and 5 minutes later wonder, what was I just reading? How did I make it that far? I've listened to the Bible audio and sometimes I'll get to the end of a couple chapters like, man, I missed everything that was in the... We don't pay attention sometimes. We're paying attention to other things. But we need to set aside time to pay attention to the Word of God. And that's tough because the devil doesn't want us to spend time with God and His Word. Why? Because he's roaming about seeking whom he may devour. How am I going to live a cleansed life? Well, I've got to take heed to God's word, but that requires paying attention. Taking that time to make a priority of God's word. Many of us brush our teeth in the mornings. Hopefully all of us, right? And we do that for a reason. So that people want to be around us. So that we take care of our hygiene. We make a priority of that. You may not have time for breakfast, but you always make time to brush your teeth, right? You may not have time for... I mean, there are certain things we make sure we have a priority of. That's how we must be with God's Word. I must make a priority of God's Word. And it takes time. It takes that time to pay attention. Here he says, thereto according to thy word. The psalmist is talking about some specific words, not just nice teachings. It's not just good enough for me to make time for other good Christian books, as helpful as they can be. I need the word of God. Maybe you utilize the daily bread. Maybe you utilize a different devotional. It's not enough to read the story and be inspired for the day. I need God's word because God's word makes a difference in my life. I need to pay attention to God's word. It must be priority. This is God's word, a careful arrangement of words or commands written by God. Really, even that's why we take careful heed to how we translate the Bible. There are different Bible translations that get into phrase by phrase. Well, God spoke in words, so word for word translation is important. And it is important because God spoke in words. There's the careful arrangement. The psalmist says, thereto according to thy word, not just my paraphrase, but what God's word says. A sovereign or royal edict, a matter of words spoken by a king which carries the innate force of a royal command, because God is king of all. He's ruler of all creation. And yet he lovingly enough communicated to me, and I can live a Christian life because he tells me how. I must take heed to his word by paying attention to it. Not just listening to some nice words. Not just by paying attention and during church, and yeah, I can tell you at least for 10 minutes afterwards what was preached about. Or I might remember tomorrow what my devotions are about. But yes, it requires paying attention, but it also requires taking action. I need to apply it to my life. He says, thereto, according to thy word. How do we live that cleansed way, a different way, a clean way, a right way before God? By paying attention and applying it to my life. The purpose for this hedging about was for protection. When these shepherds would do that with their sheep and the fires around them at night, it was to protect them. There was a purpose for it. It wasn't just because that's what we got to do. There's a purpose we listen to preaching. There's a purpose we spend time in God's Word every day. Why? Because I need to grow, and the only way that I'm going to live that cleansed life is, yes, I've got to pay attention, but then I've got to put it into practice. I've got to put action to it. One of our memory verses a couple months ago, that we need to walk in Him. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so what? Walk. It takes action. I might say, I'm going to get up and walk. Or, man, I'm going to get up and I'm going to run a 5K. But unless I put one foot in front of the other and do it, it doesn't happen. I may read God's word and say, that was good. But if I don't do anything about it in my life and I don't apply it, I'm not taking heed thereto according to thy word. I might know more about God and in his word, but it's that personal relationship with God, living that cleansed life. Think about what you're doing. Don't just live life aimlessly. What comes may come. It is what it is. That's not how we live the Christian life. I must live on purpose. How? According to God's word. It requires me to pay attention. It requires me then to apply it. Scriptural truth. As the question I asked this morning, and we talked about, can I, or does my belief in Christ change me? We'll talk about that tonight. Yes. As we apply God's word, he changes our life. That sanctification we've talked about, being set apart from the world unto God. That's how I live that cleansed life, by knowing what he says and by taking action, putting it into practice. This is obedience. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way. This is obedience, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. I will. And you know, that's easy to commit on Sunday mornings. That's easy to commit when we're at church or when we're talking with other Christians. Yes, man, I'm going to make a priority of God's word. And maybe there's specific ways you've looked in your life and God has challenged you and you were convicted. Man, teens, I remember Harvest Fest a week and a half ago now. No, just over a week. Ladies, you at the ladies' retreat. I have thought about the decisions that God challenged my heart with just a week ago at Harvest Fest. One of those, making a priority of God's word and memorization. And we'll talk about that. But do you know what? Everything else seems to creep in and take that priority. If I'm going to take heed to God's word, it does require paying attention. Not just, yep, that was God's word. That was my devotional. Got it in passing. I need to give priority to God's word. This is obedience. Number two, I need to seek God. If I'm going to live the Christian life, yes, I must take heed to God's word. But I must seek God. It begins at salvation. We mentioned that. If you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior, he died for your sins today. Believe in him. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. So don't leave without knowing Jesus Christ as Savior for your sins. Talk with me. Talk with one of our other leaders. Be glad to share with you how God's word changes life because Jesus died on the cross. We sang about his blood earlier. Wow, what a difference he makes. But I must seek him. Verse 10 says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. The word sought means to frequent. You frequently do something. Aren't you thankful for food? You frequent food, don't you? How many of you frequent your refrigerator? How many of you sometimes you frequent your refrigerator, you open it up, you stand there for 30 seconds and close it? Nothing changed since last time you did it, but you were hoping something else would pop out that you could eat. We frequent that. The reality is, as much as I need to frequent food, and God made my body to need food, I must frequent God, if you will. Now, we're not talking about frequenting church, though I believe church is a very important part of our life. That's why we have services on Sunday. That's why we have Wednesday evening opportunities and other opportunities as a church family to gather together. But when we're talking about frequenting God, it means me, not just once a day. What if I only frequented the refrigerator or my cupboards once a day? I would go hungry. Maybe you wouldn't. I would be hungry. If I only frequent God once a day or less, I'm not really seeking after God. I might say I am, but if I'm going to live like a Christian, I must seek God. Making it a commitment to seek Him. In verse 9, we said the priority is godliness, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way. Here in verse 10, the priority is God. It's not just living life a certain way, living a cleansed way. Verse 10, with my whole heart have I sought who? Thee, speaking of God. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 24 through 33, we see the reality that we need to seek God. There's all sorts of stuff in life that I can seek after, but trying to grow an inch to my height or stature isn't going to do it. But I need to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I must seek God. Frequent Him. That's what my life is about. Do people around you know that you seek God or just know that you say you're a Christian? There's a difference. Am I seeking God when life is tough? Am I seeking God when things don't go my way? Am I seeking God when I scream and yell and do whatever? Am I seeking God when I'm worried and just eaten up with that fear? God is there. The psalmist says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. He went through a lot of different emotions. Talk about roller coaster. Being hunted. As people go hunting deer this time of year. Here he was being hunted. He was the hunted one by Saul, who David is supposed to replace and be the next king. And his emotions, he trusts God and has joy, and then, man, life is tough. But what does he continually go back to as we see throughout the Psalms? God. Psalm 27, God says, seek ye my face. And the psalmist responded, thy face, O Lord, will I seek. Am I seeking God? I can't live like a Christian if I'm not. Going to church does not cause me to live like a Christian. It's one of those helpful things, and it is a help to seek God. I seek God as I come to church. That's why we are very careful with the hymns we sing. That's why we're careful that we teach God's Word in our Sunday schools, and we open up the Word of God, and why there's a Bible in the pew if you don't have one with you. Because this is God's Word. This is not me. You didn't come to listen to me. You came to listen to God. Seeking God. See, the psalmist says, with my whole heart. In order to seek God, it requires my whole heart. Not just part of me. It's not just take part of my life and let it be. The songwriter says, take my life, all of me. There's a song that says, all of me, not a part, but all of me. That's my whole heart. The psalmist is seeking God with his whole heart. The feelings, the will, and even the intellect. Oh, Christians, man, they just need God as a crutch because their intellect isn't good enough to get them through life. My intellect isn't good enough. But it's not a dumb religion. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's how I seek God. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Not half-heartedly. 1 Samuel 12, verse 24, only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things He hath done for you. He's a personal God who cares about you. Many of us are familiar with John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And the truth of that verse, sometimes we get lost in it that, yes, God loves everyone, but God loves you personally, and you can personally seek after God here, collectively, as God speaks to your heart, maybe in a different way than He does mine. That was Harvest Fest and Ladies Retreat. Those testimonies we heard, yes, some of them the Lord challenged with certain areas and some of the similar things, but there are different things in each of our lives that God wants to challenge and change. I need to seek God with all my heart. Colossians 3, verse 22 through 25. Think of a passage as it begins, servants obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. In other words, here on earth, bosses, those in charge of us, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. See, Paul is telling the church at Colossae to work hard and do all things, even before those other humans, but making sure I'm doing it to God. If I'm to work with all my heart before God, man, I sure need to seek Him with all my heart. And yet that's hard. I'm telling you, I struggle with that. There are so many other priorities in our life. It was D.L. Moody who said, the more responsibilities in his day, the more time he needed with God's Word. Because he realized the priority was God's Word, and in order for him to live a cleansed life, he needed to seek God, not just do his devotions. As you do your devotions, and it's so important, it's not another checklist. It's making a priority of God. It requires our whole heart. But the psalmist also says here in verse 10, the last phrase, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. See, this is a song of praise to God for His Word. And as he's making God a priority, he's seeking God, he's praying, God, don't let me wander from You. So seeking God requires the whole heart, but it also requires prayer. God, I need You. I need You now. It's tough and I don't know how to get through. Or, I need You now. Life just seems to be going so easy, but God, help me to know how much I need You and seek You. God warned the children of Israel as they were about to enter that promised land that they would receive cities they didn't build, vineyards they didn't plant, and who did they need to seek after? God. And what happened to that next generation? They walked away from God. If I'm going to live like a Christian, and indeed pass that on, it takes individual responsibility, but I must seek God. My kids need to know that I don't just say I live like a Christian. Not just making church a priority, making God the priority. It requires prayer, speaking with God while you're seeking after God. Praying. Prayer is one of those tough things as a Christian, isn't it? Man, we can consistently pray for our food. But it can be tough to make that consistent quiet time with God in prayer. But I need to seek God. Here the psalmist says, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Praying, God, would you help me draw close to you? James says, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. How? Again, seeking God in prayer. Like the songwriter says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Man, I know my heart. You know your heart. If I'm going to live like a Christian, I need God's help. It's not enough to make the priority of God's word by taking heed to it and applying it. I need God's help to put it into practice. It's important for me to seek God, but man, I need God to draw me close to Him. Ask God to help you obey Him. Zechariah 4:6. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And so the reality is that I must not live in my own power to live for God, but it truly is in the Spirit of God. It's in His strength that I live. And Zechariah realized that. But if I'm going to live the Christian life, it's not in my own strength. I can become a better Christian if I pull my bootstraps up a little harder. If I can put a little more discipline in my life. And we do need to discipline ourselves. We need to make a priority of God's word. We need to seek after Him. But I need God to change my heart. Praying, God, would you help me? I need you to help me. We all know the area of life we don't live like a Christian. Or at least the glaring ones, right? We need God's help. I need His help. I need to take heed to His word. I need to seek Him. And in verse 11, we're reminded, I need to hide God's word in my heart. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. How many of you remember playing hide and seek as a kid? Right, so, man, that I remember one of the games that sticks out to me. We were out in a rural area, rural Iowa. My family was the family who owned the farm. They didn't have animals, but they had some acreage, and they had an old barn. And man, us kids were outside playing, and we finally got our dads to come out and play with us. And we were out. It was nighttime, and there were barns. There were so many different places. Each round took forever. It was fun. The goal is to stay hidden, right? God's word doesn't want to stay hidden in our life. Bury it so we don't find it. See, when the psalmist says, thy word have I hid in mine heart, it's talking about hiding by covering, to hoard or preserve. Hoarders, and we think about those TV shows, right? Those hoarders and all sorts of craziness that they have, all sorts of stuff. Man, I worked for the Census Bureau in 2000, and we delivered census forms to the field workers, the managers out in the field. And I remember going to one house, and we had, I don't know, probably 20-some boxes or more that we had to drop off so they could get them out to their workers and then get the census work done. The other guy, I think there were three of us guys there, we were looking at each other like, where do we put these things? And this manager says, here, let me clear a spot for you. And it's like, is that going to be safe there? They had so much stuff. No, they weren't trying to hide it. They were just preserving it. I might need it someday. The Word of God, I need it today. I need it when I can't always read it. We don't always have time to pull out our Bibles and say, there we go, this is what I need. Praise God for those opportunities. Maybe you have a smartphone. Maybe you have a tablet and you carry those things with you and you've got access to the Word of God wherever you are. But you know, it's been interesting. Statistics and studies have shown that as many more copies of the Word of God that most people on average have in the United States of America, the Word of God is known less and less today than it was 30 years ago. Because we have God's word. I can look at it anytime I need. But here the psalmist says, thy word have I hid in mine heart to preserve me, to protect me. Note, he's already seeking God with his whole heart. This is just a natural next step. That's how he'll live that Christian life. The priority is God's word. In verse 9, we said the priority is living a godly life. How do I do that? By making God priority, verse 10, and by making His Word priority, verse 11. We often refer to the Bible as the written Word of God. And Jesus Christ is the living Word of God. We see He's referred to as the Word, was in the beginning with God, and the Word was God. If I'm going to make God's Word a priority, it does take memorization. How many of you say, but I can't memorize? It's interesting. I've read some books about that. And it's exercising the mind. We all, at least, can exercise certain parts of our bodies. If we walk from the bedroom to the living room, we just exercised. Not as much as maybe we should have, but that was exercising our muscles, right? It was putting it into action. Now, it's easy to let our brains just coast in life. We have so much media and so much technology and so much easy access entertainment that we don't have to ever think. And we just, our brain just does nothing. That's not exercising our brain. The psalmist says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." He made God's word a priority. He exercised his brain, if you will, but it requires diligence. It requires diligence on my part. It doesn't just happen to memorize God's word. How many verses has been the big focus of this message this morning? But if you don't know these verses already, you won't walk away having them memorized. It takes diligence to memorize God's word. I'm telling you publicly, that was one thing God convicted and challenged my heart with at Harvest Fest. I really need to memorize God's word. One of the things Evangelist Dave Young said, we need to memorize God's word for the specific areas in our life we know we're struggling to live the Christian life. Remember our question this morning? How do I live the Christian life? I need to make God's word a priority. Yes, I need to seek God in the mornings by reading His word and praying and spending that time with Him. But as I'm driving or as I'm walking through the supermarket or as I'm standing in the checkout aisle and there's so many things to divert my eyes, how do I live like a Christian? Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. It requires diligence to memorize God's word. Joshua 1:8, the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, thinking upon, revolving it around, not just emptying our mind of everything around. Much of today's meditation. But revolving God's word around and around in my mind. When I meditate on God's word, it's often an easy next step to memorize it because I put diligence in really thinking about that section or that verse. Philippians 3:10. We say it on Sunday mornings, we say it on Sunday nights, but we could come to the end of the month and you still not know it. It takes diligence. I need God's word so that I don't sin against God. Our memory verse for this month, that I may know Him and His power, incredible, so that I can live an obedient life, a godly life, just like a Christian should. I need God's word. Hide God's word in your heart. Requires diligence. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. If it's profitable and it's important, shouldn't I memorize it? Now, in today's day and age of speed dial, we may not even know our own phone number. But years gone by, people would memorize their phone number and everybody else's. Because I don't want to pull out the phone book to dial those seven numbers to get my friend. I can still hit a couple, three digits in a row and remember my friend's number back from my childhood. 4-7-6-3-8-5. I mean, it's just unreal. You just got it down. Do I have God's word down? It takes diligence. Evangelist Ron Comfort, Evangelist John Getch, a couple men that I know that when they preach, they hardly ever read their Bible while they're preaching. Do you know why? Because it's coming out of their heart. They've meditated and memorized so much that the verses that they're referring to, man, it is fresh. Again, not with just the purpose of, look how much knowledge I have. But because I want to live like a Christian. Well, I'll never have that opportunity to preach like them. And so what's the point of memorizing those verses? When I go to witness to someone, I've got this app on my phone that leads from one scripture to the next. I don't need to memorize any of that. When I'm struggling with a temptation, I can pull up my phone and I wrote down these verses that I can look at. We don't always have that time. But it's more than just taking the time out of our life to do it. It changes the very way we think. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Being transformed by the renewing of our mind. If I'm going to live like a Christian, gulp, I need to memorize the Bible. I need to make Scripture memory a priority. It requires diligence. The Jews in Deuteronomy were challenged. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. The Pharisees took this and they would bind them on their hands and their foreheads. And that's not the point of hiding it. It's not,
look at me, I've got God's word.
It's so I can live a godly life. There's a purpose. I need God. I want to, whether I eat or drink or whatsoever I do, I want to glorify God. That means I need to memorize God's word. And it might just be one verse a month. We're helping with that. But we can move on beyond that, can't we? So that we can let God's word transform the way we think and the way I live then. But as I memorize it, yes, it requires diligence. It requires purpose. Memorize God's word so I will obey, not just know more verses. As we have scripture contests at times with our kids to help earn money for camp. As we have in our BLC and we encourage scripture memory, it's not just for another check and another point and another whatever it may be. It's so that I can live a godly life. That's got to be my purpose. Psalm 1, 1 through 3, we read verses, the whole psalm this morning. But that I would live like God. Jesus quoted scripture when he was tempted. As I hide God's word in my heart and make God's word the priority, this leads to obedience. This is how I can live a cleansed life. This is how I today can live like a Christian. And you know what? We get to live like a Christian tomorrow. And the joy that comes through obeying and living for God, more than whatever media I try to fulfill myself with, living like a Christian gives joy. Living like a Christian gives peace beyond understanding that'll keep your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. So you struggle with your emotions? Let's live like a Christian. Let's take heed to God's word. Let's seek God. And let's hide God's word in our heart. That will change the way we live this week. That will help us as our emotions struggle. I don't know how I can go on. That will help us as we battle through that temptation of worry or anger or whatever other thought process we're struggling with. This week, I can live like a Christian. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Well, that requires each of us then, living like a Christian. Father, we thank you for your love. Pray that you would help us today to live for you. To live that godly life, that cleansed life. God, we want to. But there are so many distractions in life and our hearts are prone to wander as it is. And so Lord, would you help us this week? Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Maybe you're here and you'd say, Pastor Josh, I don't know Jesus as Savior. I'm not a Christian. I've never asked Jesus to forgive me of my sin. If you haven't asked Jesus to forgive you of your sins, don't leave before you do that today. Would you just say with an uplifted hand, Pastor Josh, would you pray for me? I need to be saved. I won't call you out. I won't embarrass you. But I sure will pray that God will work in your heart so you can be saved. And that you will turn to Christ and accept His gift. Anybody, Pastor Josh, would you pray for me? I need to be saved. Maybe you're here and you say, Pastor Josh, I know I'm saved. I've asked Jesus to forgive me of my sin, but there have just been some specific areas of my Christian life I've been challenged with this morning that I need to give to God. Would you pray for me, Pastor Josh? Anybody at all, Pastor Josh, would you pray? Amen. I'll pray. Amen. Would you pray? Would you give that to God? This week, let's live the Christian life. Seek God. Father, we thank you for your love. God, no one this morning has said that they're not saved, but I pray that if someone isn't saved, that today they'd come to know Jesus Christ as Savior. But God, a number have said you've challenged them with a specific area. You've spoken. Would you then help them as they apply these truths to their lives this week? Help them to live like a Christian today, to seek you, to memorize your word, and to make you the priority of life. Let's stand with our heads bowed, eyes closed. Maybe as God has challenged you, you just want to come forward and deal with God and say, God, would you help me? Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Help me to trust and obey this week. Maybe an opportunity just to deal with God. You can deal with him there in where you're standing. You can come forward and kneel and deal with God. But would you make that commitment to him? God, you've challenged. I will obey. Just on the chorus, let's sing it if you know it. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. If we can have the Wyatts come on forward here real quick. They came forward a number of weeks ago, and a lot has happened in between now and then. But they came forward to join our church again, and we're just so thankful for them and just this opportunity. You heard their testimony a number of weeks ago, and thankful for what God has done in their lives. And we have a recommendation from our chairman of the deacons.
Yeah, the deacons and us have went through this. We've studied, they've come and asked for membership. We went with pastor, and we give them a nomination for them to be accepted as members of the church.
Amen. So all in favor, say amen.
Amen.
And we're thankful to have you guys here as members. So would you come with us, and you can greet each other. Now be careful, they've got some surgeries coming up, so if you're sick, just love them by saying we love you, okay? Jeff, would you close this in prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord. We thank you for the time you've given us, Lord. We thank you for allowing us to gather around you. Lord, that as we go into the world and our jobs and our schools, Lord, that we'd be able to recite verses, be able to keep ourselves living that Christian life. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.